Your Bibles tonight in the 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. What an awesome song. Man, I never seen so much music. Stretched out and rolled back. Amen. That was good. For you and for me. I don't even know what the name of that song was, but I know this, that God gave a gift for you and me. Amen. He gave His Son. If you found 2 Corinthians chapter number 9, we'd ask you tonight to stand with us as we reverence and honor the reading of God's Word. Though it's one verse tonight, we'll stand. Verse number 15. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Our Father, we thank You that we've been privileged to be able to gather in Your house tonight. We thank You, Father, for our friends that have come to visit, Father, and our church family that has returned tonight. And God, we ask You, Lord, just to stir our hearts tonight through Your Word. Help us to be mindful of Your goodness and Your mercies to us, Lord, and just to praise You for that unspeakable gift that You've sent into our hearts and sent into our lives in this world, Father, so undeserving. God, You loved us enough, Father, to do what You've done. God, help us each one to be obedient tonight. Help folks, Lord, tonight to realize that this altar is always open. And God, You're always ready to hear. And You're always attentive unto our prayers. Come tonight, dear Lord, and just minister to us. And help us, God, to submit ourselves and surrender unto Your perfect and precious will. And we'll thank You and praise You in Jesus' name. We say amen. You may be seated. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. We get so wrapped up in the holiday season and the Christmas time that we forget just to stop and to thank God for what He's done for us and how He's done it for us. Amen. I tell you what, I have some friends that have done some great things for me and have blessed me in tremendous ways. And sometimes I just can't thank them enough for doing what they've done and the way they've went out of their way to do it. It's just been a blessing, and I'm thankful for that. But no one has ever done for me and no one has ever done for you what God has done in the way that He's done it. Amen. The Bible says right here in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. If you look up that word unspeakable in the dictionary, the Merriam-Webster's dictionary, it says it's incapable of being expressed in words. I could stand here forever and I could never tell you in its fullness and in its entirety just how great a gift God has given us when He sent His Son. Amen. The Apostle John said, if all the books in the world could be written, they could never contain all that He had done. The songwriter says, all the notes in the music could never tell just how good God is and how merciful He is. The pages that men could write could never convey and could never get it across just how good God's gift to us is. It's indescribable and incapable of being described by words. There are three things in the Bible that they tell us are unspeakable. Let's have a Bible quiz. Amen. What are the three things that the Bible tells us are unspeakable? Joy is one of them. Anybody know what number two is? We just read number three. Amen. Paul said, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. He said, but I knew a man in the Lord above 14 years ago. And I personally believe that this was the Apostle Paul himself talking. I'm in a second part. I'm not talking about himself. I'm talking in the third person or whatever it is they say. But he's trying to describe the experience that he had. I believe this is the experience what he had when they stoned him and left him for dead and they drug him out of the city. Now let me tell you something. I believe in my heart that Paul was dead. Some do, some don't. But let me tell you something. When they stoned people back then, they knew what they were doing. Their purpose was to stone you to death. They were just like the Romans. When they executed somebody, they were accustomed to doing what they did. And they were good at it. They knew what was going on. I believe when the apostle Paul was stoned, he was dead, and he said he was caught up into the third heaven, and he heard words, unspeakable words, that it's not lawful for a man to utter. Amen. Praise God. I'm glad there's some things in the glory world that are even too good for us to be able to comprehend, and even for us to be able to accept and know in this world below. I believe it would drive us all to doing whatever we could to get there a little bit sooner. Amen. Paul said unspeakable words, unlawful to be uttered. And then Peter, over in 1 Peter chapter 1, talking about our Savior and the hope that he brings to the believer, says, whom having not seen ye love, and whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Amen. Have you ever tried to tell somebody about the joy that's in your life since you've trusted Jesus as your Savior? You try to describe it to a lost person and they think you're crazy. Amen. They classify you as some type of a weirdo, and they begin to warn others at work. They begin to warn others in the family. They begin to warn others that you know and are friends with. Oh, watch out. He's done went off the deep end. They done went plumb crazy. Hallelujah. But I could never describe the joy that's in my heart in knowing Jesus. Amen. We can never adequately convey what Jesus has done for us. Amen. Don't they look at you like you're crazy? Why do you got to go to church? Man, I go to church because I like to go to church. I don't have to go. I go because I want to go. Why do you go? Because he does something to me when I go to church that I don't find anywhere else. Amen. Well, describe it. Well, it's kind of like this. It's a joy and a peace and a hope and a contentment that this world can't afford and this world can't give me. It's unspeakable. But then he speaks to us and he tells us about God's unspeakable gift. No words can describe in its entirety, all that Jesus has become to a lost and a dying world. He's more than just my Savior. He's my friend. He's not just my friend. He's my soon coming King. Amen. He's not just my soon coming King. He's my comforter that is there and abides within my heart. He's not just my comforter. He's my everything. No matter what it is that I stand in need of, I know that he can do anything and everything and will pour out the riches of glory on my behalf if I need him to. Praise God. He's everything that I could ever hope for and anything that I could ever desire. But I can't adequately describe him. I can't adequately tell you about this unspeakable gift. But there's some things in the Bible that tells us about this unspeakable gift. And I'd like to share some four thoughts with you tonight on this unspeakable gift. And I'll say this, I never preach another man's message. I never preach the same message twice. Some preachers, they go around and they got their little notebooks and they preach the message, and you hear them this time preach it, and you hear them the next time, and they got little notations in there, say hallelujah right here, and I don't preach the same message twice. I preach the same scripture. But as far as I know, I have never preached the same message twice. But in studying, sometimes you run across things and you see things, and these four things that I seen are something that I wished I would have thought of these four points and these four things to share. But I didn't. And somebody else did. Amen? And I'm going to use their points tonight because, man, they speak volumes. Amen? I might milk another man's cow, but I churn my own butter, as the fellow said. Amen? Amen. And let me just say this. There are no words in the Bible that have never not been preached. There's never a thought that has never been covered. Everybody somewhere has heard or read or seen something that has inspired them in some way. But man, I tell you what, I've been wanting to preach on this unspeakable gift. And as I was studying, I run across these four points, and I loved them. And I just wanted to share them with you tonight in my own way, amen, in my own words. But I like the points, amen. They were positive, and they're out of this world. I mean, they're just, they had to be anointed when the fellow pinned them down originally. Four things about this unspeakable gift. It was unspeakable love that thought it. Amen. Can you stop and think back with me and try to go back before the foundations of the world, all the way back before the stars were hung in the sky, and the clouds floated across the blue, and the waters coursed across the land, all the way back before God had even thought about starting creation, to the time when he realized what was going to happen when man came into this world, and man fell by the way of sin, and man needed help, and man needed a rescue, and he couldn't do anything for himself, but God was going to have to do it for him. Can you go back to that and just think about the unspeakable love that thought of salvation's plan? God's unspeakable gift. John 3:16, you all know, for God so loved. It was a love that we can't even begin to comprehend. How could someone give something so precious, something so valuable, something so unspeakably wonderful for such a wretch as I? It's an unspeakable love that thought it. Because he didn't wait until we were able to get ourselves in a position to where he would be able to do something for us and do something in us. But in Romans 5:8, it said that God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Woo! Let me ask you, which one of you here tonight are willing to give one of your children? We'll go find the worst dreg of society. We'll find the worst dreg in the world. We'll find the most evil person that we can find. And which one of you tonight would be willing to give your child, give his life in exchange for theirs? It's a love like no other. It's a love beyond comprehension. It's a love beyond description. John said over in 1 John 3:16, he says, "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us." A love that was willing to give everything. A love that was willing to hold nothing back. A love that was willing to commit himself wholly unto the redemption of mankind. How do you describe a love like that? You can't. Unless you go to John, 1 John chapter 4. It says, God is love. Amen. Think about how much you really loved. We don't grasp the depth of it. We don't grasp the enormity of it. We recite John 3:16. We recite the scriptures that tell us about God's love and how much God loves us, but we really don't comprehend just how marvelous and how wonderful, how unspeakably great the love of God is. Amen. Thank God for his unspeakable gift and the love that thought it. Amen. But number two, think about the unspeakable life that brought it. Amen. It wasn't just any sacrifice that could be accepted. It wasn't just any life that could be laid down. It wasn't just any individual that would be able to bring redemption unto mankind. But it would take a special individual. It would take a special life. It would take a special sacrifice. And man was wholly and totally incapable of providing a sacrifice adequate to redeem man from the curse of sin. So God sent his son, his unspeakable gift. And the Bible tells us that he was perfect. You can't find perfection in this world. An old couple whose spouses had died and they had both found one another. They remarried in their twilight years. Were together one time. And somebody was talking about the fact that there are no perfect men and no perfect women in this world. And the little old lady, she spoke up and said, "Well, according to my husband, his first wife was perfect." Think about that for a minute. Amen. We criticize or we ridicule. Well, she used to do. Mamas were perfect. Amen. Daddies were perfect. But they're not. The only perfect man, and understand this, the only perfect man that ever lived was a man by the name of Jesus. Amen. There was a perfect man by the name of Adam. He was perfect in everything and in every way. God had made him and made him perfect. But that perfect man sinned and was no longer perfect. God says of Job, "Have you considered my servant Job a perfect and an upright man, one that fears God and eschews evil?" He was perfect in his worship. He was perfect in his reverence. But he was still born of the seed of sin. He had to practice and the principle's right. But he still had a problem. Because he was still of the sinful seed. But when God looked down and seen the need and in His divine love chose to send the perfect sacrifice. He chose His only begotten Son. He wasn't conceived of sinful seed, but of the sinless seed of God. Amen. He wasn't conceived of one who had been tainted by another man. He was conceived in the womb of a virgin who was used of God. He was brought forth perfect in every way. He walked this world perfect in every way. He was human. It took a man to break the fellowship with God in the Garden of Eden. A man had sinned. A man had brought reproach. A man had brought a death unto man, and it would take a man to live a perfect life. It would take a man to live a sinless life. It would take a man to become the sacrifice that could take away the curse of sin. And God sent His Son, and they called Him Jesus. And the Bible says in Hebrews 5:9, and being made perfect, praise God, I'm glad He was perfect. I'm glad He was the perfect sacrifice. He was the perfect man. He was the perfect blood. He was the perfect salvation, because He was perfect. He became the author of eternal salvation. Sinless. Sinless. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. The perfect, sinless sacrifice. See, that was the next requirement. He had to be perfect. When they examined Him, they could find no fault in everything He did. You can find no fault in all the volumes that have been written about Him, in all the commentary that has ever been compiled concerning Him. Amen. You find that there was no sin in Him. He was perfect in every way. And He was willing to become a sacrifice. Jesus told His friends in John 15:13, He said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Praise God, I'm glad. I'm glad the perfect, sinless Lamb of God was willing to be sacrificed on my behalf. Was willing to shed His blood on my behalf. I can't tell enough about Jesus. Thank God. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift and the life that brought it. The life that brought salvation. The life that brought hope. The life that brought deliverance. The life that made everything I stood in need of possible. Praise His holy name. Amen. Amen. And then look. And look, we got the unspeakable love that thought it. Aren't these awesome points? Now you see why I chose to use them. Amen. We got the unspeakable life that brought it. But then we got the unspeakable death that wrought it. A death like no other. A death that caused heaven. And I think about this. A death that you deserved and I deserved. A death that all of humanity deserved to die was laid upon Him. The perfect, sinless sacrifice of God. And when He entered into that place where the sacrifice was sacrificed, the Bible tells us that there was darkness over the face of the earth. The light had been extinguished. John chapter 1 says he was the light of the world. In him was light. And that light is now extinguished. When the full weight of sin had been placed upon him, God the Father turned his back on God the Son. Fellowship was broken, and the words of Jesus from the cross rang out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Oh, what a death that wrought salvation. A death that men have tried, doctors have tried to describe all the things that were going on and happen in the physical body. Theologians have surmised what was happening in the spiritual man of Jesus as he hung there and as he suffered for you and me. But there's not enough words to describe what transpired and what took place on our behalf at a place called Mount Calvary. But praise God, the result brought reconciliation. The purpose of the death was to bring man back into fellowship with God, that he was no longer separated from fellowship with God because of sin. The Bible says in Romans 5 and 10, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And praise God, he died that he might restore what had been broken at Calvary. And praise God, the means that bought up that reconciliation, the means that restored that fellowship was nothing less than his total 100 complete death. He didn't swoon. He wasn't passed out. He wasn't in shock. He was dead as dead could be, because the wages of sin is death, and he bore the wages of sin in his own body, that I won't have to and you don't have to if we trust in him. Amen. Look, Philippians 2 and 8 says, and being found in fashion as a man, amen, holy man, holy God, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You see, he didn't have to die. He chose to die. No one could force him to die. He told Pilate, he said, I can call 10 legions of angels to set me free. He did not have to die, but he chose to die because of the great love that he has for us and the power that is in that death. The power that was in what happened at Calvary is beyond description. It's beyond comprehension. It's beyond conveying all that has happened. And Galatians 1 4 says, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world. Praise God, I'm thankful for the death, the life that brought it, but for the left that wrought it. Amen. For the death. He had to die. He had to suffer. Why would God send the greatest treasure that heaven possessed into this world? I tell my folks all the time, God bankrupted heaven that he might purchase for me eternal salvation in his own Son. The death that wrought it. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift and the death that wrought it, that we can't get across to some people how precious and how important that old rugged cross is and the one who hung upon it and the work that was accomplished by it. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. And I thank God for the unspeakable joy when taught it. Amen. I'm glad somebody told me one day that I was a no good, dirty, filthy, stinking, rotten sinner that deserved hell. But I didn't have to go there because Jesus loved me. I thank God for the day that somebody was willing to take the precious word of God and take me down the Romans road. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. But God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. If we shall believe in our heart and confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, ye shall be saved. Praise God. I'm thankful for the promises that was shared with me, for the word that was given me, that God's gift wasn't hoarded up and kept by some people who thought they were better than anybody else and didn't need to tell somebody else, and they was willing to tell an old sinner like me about Jesus. And praise God, one glorious night I got saved because somebody taught it to me. I'm thankful tonight for the souls that I've seen saved because I've told somebody about Jesus. I'm thankful for the souls that have been saved because we got Sunday school teachers that tell children about Jesus. I'm thankful for the souls that get saved in Bible school because Bible school workers and Bible school teachers will tell somebody about Jesus. Amen. There's nothing like it, and there's nothing that can compare to it, and there's a joy that comes upon us that we can't even describe and can't even begin to share with anyone else. Just the intensity of what happens because of God's unspeakable gift. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Let's forget about all the bows and the ribbons. Let's forget about all the packages and all the I wants for Christmas. And let's just focus for a while here this evening on God's unspeakable gift. And let's just ask ourselves. Let's just ask ourselves. Have I thanked God for his unspeakable gift? Let me tell you this. A gift isn't a gift until it's received. Maybe you're here tonight and you've never accepted God's unspeakable gift. His gift of salvation. His gift of his only begotten Son. His gift of his love and his compassion and his care for you. Oh, tonight would be a good night to partake of this unspeakable gift. Let's just think for a while. Where will you be if you reject God's gift tonight? And just suppose you was in a car accident on your way home. Where would you be in all of eternity? Amen. Christian, let's just ask ourselves, if we don't take the opportunity tonight to come with thankful hearts and thankful lives and thank God for his unspeakable gift this Christmas season, and you was to be in an accident on the way home, and you was to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and he was to ask you, why was you afraid? Why was you ashamed? Why was you too busy to take time to give thanks for my unspeakable gift? What could you say? Nothing? Let's stand tonight with our heads bowed, our eyes closed, no one looking around.